Hi, ladies. I'm going to be introducing our speaker for this morning, Maria Kessler. She's a Kentucky native who has called San Clemente home for over 22 years. She began attending PCC last year and has a deep passion for sharing the hope of Jesus Christ. In 2021, Maria and her husband founded Engage Worship, a ministry dedicated to traveling throughout Southern California to share the message of Christ through worship and personal testimony. She also serves as a worship leader with Armor of Light Ministries. Maria is a devoted wife and mother to three children, Austin, Luke, and Anaya. Her journey of faith has been shaped by God's faithfulness through every season, including the joys and challenges of marriage, raising a child with special needs, and growing in her identity in Christ. She is passionate about encouraging others through her story and has witnessed God move powerfully and miraculously in her life. Maria's heart is to inspire others to encounter Jesus and walk confidently in his love and purpose. So please give a warm welcome to Maria Kessler.
Well, good morning. I'm excited to be here. I'm going to invite you guys to stand. I want to open with worship today.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything out of me. I raise a hallelujah, yes I do. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of a mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Sing a little louder, 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 in the presence of my enemies, sing a little louder. A little louder. My weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Oh, heaven comes to fight for me. Yes. Now I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes. I raise a hallelujah. King, I'll raise a hallelujah.
Well, Lord, I just want to lift up this morning to you, Father. I thank you for the privilege to come and to share the truth of who you are, how you move, that you are still doing miracles today, that you are still working and moving in our lives, Lord. And so, Father, I pray as I just share the testimony of your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord, that you would speak to each heart here in this place, Lord. You know what they're walking through in their lives. You know exactly what it is that they need to take every step forward with you. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would just bless them and pour your heart and your love into my sisters here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. I have to share with you, when I told Laura this, when she texted me a few months ago and she asked me to come speak. I've been here twice before, so I don't know if some of you have been here when I've spoken before. The second she texted me, I was like, absolutely. And then she said, well, what do you want your title of your talk to be? And the second she texted me that, the Lord immediately said, tried by fire. And out loud, I said, no. And I knew the second that I said no and I start weeping, I knew that was exactly what God wanted me to share. And so I immediately told her, and I was wrestling with it. I mean, ever since she asked me, I've been wrestling with it. We've had, I'll share a beginning of my story a little bit, but the last 3 years of our life have probably been the most difficult. So even since I've been here last, God just continues to add pages of testimony to our story. And my husband and I joke, we're like, we're ready to have a season where we don't add any more of these heavy chapters, but there's purpose in all of it, right? Here today, I get to come and share, and obviously the weight of what God put on my heart to share this morning isn't just for me, it's for you all. And so I just, like I said before when I prayed, I really hope that this morning you can walk away with a little piece of what I share about what God's done in our life to encourage you in whatever season of life that you're in or whatever season that you may face. So a little bit about me. Like my bio said, I grew up in Kentucky, grew up Catholic. I had no idea what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. I just knew I was absolutely scared as heck to die because I was going to be in purgatory forever. Like, I don't know if any of you grew up Catholic, but it's so scary as a kid, right? Grew up with a lot of abuse in my home, never feeling like I was a part of something, never feeling loved. And so the last thing on my mind as a young adult was that I was going to live my life for Jesus, or even more so that my husband would be. And when I was pregnant with our second son in 2008, we had just found out that our oldest had, he was a year and a half, he was very, very ill for the first year of his life. And we found out that he had a genetic deletion called 22q deletion, and we didn't know if we were carriers. And so there was so much fear 2 days later when I found out I was pregnant again of how can I watch another baby suffer? And he suffered. He suffered so much with seizures, with hospitalizations. He was born deaf. He had a heart defect. We were told that he would be blind and most likely not survive after 4 years old. So it was a lot. Neither of us were believers, and my husband could not handle the fact that his son with special needs and put his whole life into work, and that's where he was. And it was like I was a single mom raising this baby with a husband that wanted nothing to do with the situation. Our family is not here. At this time, we moved into a house, tried to buy a house, everything fell through, moved into a house completely contaminated with toxic mold, lost everything we owned, had to move into a hotel room until we found a new house. And that's when this random mom that I, well, she wasn't even a mom. It was a mom I met in a mom's group, had a friend who took our dog, and this friend invited me to church. And I thought, well, what the heck at this point? I don't want to be in a hotel room with my husband. I'm overwhelmed. I was invited to church, and I will never forget that moment when the pastor at the end did an altar call, and I was holding on for dear life to the bottom of my seat. I was like, I am not getting out of this chair. I am not walking up to the front. And the next thing I know, I'm standing in the front with snot dripping to the floor, bawling my eyes out, saying yes to this Jesus, not understanding what the trajectory of our life and what was going to happen. And God radically saved me that day. I didn't know it in that moment until years later, but a woman came over who didn't know me, laid her hands on me, and asked to pray for the health of my baby, not knowing our situation. And I felt the Holy Spirit from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I knew in that moment everything was going to be okay, and I was set on fire for the Lord. My husband took 2 years after that to come along this ride with me, but obviously everything happens in God's timing. At that point in time, I was leading worship at the church. My husband was kind of coming, but still thought we were all drinking the Kool-Aid, as he would say. And Austin, at 4 years old, suffered a massive seizure in front of my husband. We took him to the hospital. He suffered another seizure in the hospital, and he coded in front of us. And we had a decision to make in that moment. You know, when you're watching your kid literally die in front of you and medical staff running in to resuscitate him, your whole world moves in slow motion and you cannot process what is happening. And we had a decision to make. Were we going to be overwhelmed by fear of what we were watching happen in front of us, or were we going to surrender his life to Jesus and ask for his help? And that's what I did. I surrendered his life to Jesus, brought my pastor and his wife in that room after they stabilized him to pray, and my husband was just observing. And as we're praying over my son at 4 years old, and I'm holding him in that hospital bed, he looks at me and looks at my husband, and he says, "Daddy, mommy's hurting me. Tell her to stop hurting me." A few minutes later, he looks at my husband again, and now he's only 4 years old. Remind you, 4 years old. He looks at him again, and he said, "Dad, who is God?" Now, my husband's the 6'5", huge man, and he's just sitting in this chair, and he's like, "Oh, the big man upstairs, son, the big man upstairs, you'll be fine," because he doesn't understand what's happening. And a little bit later, my son looks at him again, and he said, "Daddy, Jesus doesn't love me. Look how he made me." And in that moment, my husband had made a decision that he was going to walk out on his family. He said the weight of what he was watching happen, he didn't understand. And he decided to get up and leave the hospital room, and he had made a decision at that moment that he was leaving us. And he said he put his hand on the door of that hospital room, and for the very first time in his life, he heard the audible voice of God out loud say, "Engage, lead your family. Engage, lead your family." And he kept repeating it. And my husband walks over, lays his hand on our four-year-old son, and for the very first time in his life, prays in Jesus' name. Sits up at 4 years old, Austin, and he looks at us all and he says, "Mommy and Daddy, Jesus just healed me. Blindness, deafness, heart defect, all miraculously healed in that moment." Amen, yes. Ladies, we serve a powerful God, and I think we forget, right? We live life and we walk through trials that are so heavy and so overwhelming. We think, how in the world can we get through this? How in the world is God going to carry us through these situations? And that was just the beginning of our journey. Since then, it has been trial after trial after trial, overwhelming trials that sometimes I look back and I think, how in the heck am I able to stand here today and still talk about the goodness of God? It's because he's faithful. He's faithful to do what he says he's going to do. Now, fast forward, that was in 2010. So here we are. We get to 2018. By this time, we're on fire. My husband goes through the school ministry at Calvary Chapel, becomes a pastor, which is just hilarious. Like, we look back and we're like, God has such a sense of humor, because if you would have asked anybody in our lives what they thought our life would look like, this would not be it by any means. So God has such a, he really does have a sense of humor. So 2018, my husband suffers a massive heart attack. Now, by this time, we have three children. And I didn't say this at the beginning. My husband's a cancer survivor, and the cancer that he had was testicular cancer. He was told he would never have kids. So all three of our kids are a complete miracle from the Lord. And they each have their own stories of where we were told they weren't alive, and God literally breathed life into them, and they're here today, one after another after another. So here we go through all this life, right? So many ups and downs. And 2018, my husband suffers a massive heart attack. And we get him to the hospital, and the doctors can't even believe he's alive. He had the, I never say it right, I think it's called like the Black Widow or the Widowmaker or something like that. They're like, I can't even believe he's alive. And his heart was in such bad condition that they couldn't operate in the moment. And they put a pump in to keep him alive, and he couldn't move. And they told him they'd have to wait a couple days before they could operate safely. And I remember 3 days go by, and it was the night before his surgery, and the doctor recommended that we bring the kids in, and that my husband says goodbye. And I don't know if anything can ever prepare you to sit there and watch your best friend, your husband, the love of your life, tell your children without them knowing goodbye. And I went home that night, and I sat in my tub, and I just wept, and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. How did you take us through so much? I have watched you literally heal my son. I've watched him heal other people. I've watched him move in radical ways. And I'm being told to say goodbye? Like, this is how it's ending? Like, I feel like we haven't even begun what this plan is you have for our life. And I had worship on in the background, and this song comes on, Do It Again. And all I hear the Lord telling me is, I'm going to do it again, Maria. I'm gonna do it again. And so the next morning, I get there about 5 a.m. as they're prepping him for surgery, and he is so full of fear. And he grabs my hand and he said, can you please worship? So at 5 a.m., I'm in the ICU at the top of my lungs singing, Do It Again. And he made it through the surgery, and when they brought me in, the nurse had her phone next to his ear playing Do It Again as he was still sleeping. God is faithful. God is faithful. Once again, God is showing me his faithfulness. Well, I wasn't prepared for what the next 6 years of our life was going to look like after that. I thought that was enough, right? We got a pretty amazing testimony of God's faithfulness. He's healing my family members. Like, what else could we possibly face? So in the beginning of 2021, God gave me this vision when I was in the shower of all places. And I'm in the shower, and he starts showing me. We always knew that our story with the Lord giving the word engaged to my husband, we knew that was going to be a part of whatever he called us into in our life. We just didn't know what it looked like. And God started giving me this vision of what engaged would look like, that he wanted us to go outside the four walls of the church, into the community, to give people an opportunity that maybe would never step into church, to understand what it means to worship the Lord, to hear the power of God through our testimony, and to lead them to an encounter with Jesus through worship. And he showed me this tent and all this stuff, and I was like, whoa, this is amazing, right? And I was turning 40 that August, and this was in April. And then the Lord said, but you have to wait till you turn 40. I'm like, what the heck? Why do I have to wait till I turn 40? What does this mean, right? Well, if you know the word, 40 years, you know, the Israelites were in the desert, right? I'm like, okay, so you're setting us free. Like, we're getting ready to go. This is what I'm thinking. He was in just a very, in a way that we weren't expecting. And the next thing I know, a friend of mine stops by. He drives all the way down from LA. He's like, I got to talk to you. The Lord put this on my heart. He showed me this tent that you guys need to do this worship thing. I've already got a tent. I've already got a stage. I already have the sound system. I'm like, okay, done. So we have this all set up. It was going to be at Rock Harbor at their outdoor tent that they had for COVID. And he's like, the only date they have is August 14th. And I was like, that's perfect. My birthday is August 4th. I'm going to turn 40 August 4th. So here comes August 4th. And August 4th, my husband and I come down with COVID on my 40th birthday. August 14th comes, and on the day of August 14th that we are supposed to be launching the ministry that God has given us a vision for, I'm calling 911 to come take my husband to the hospital because I had been so ill for 10 days in bed that I didn't even know 10 days had gone by. And I look over at my husband and he was coughing up blood. They rush him to the hospital. He's put in ICU for 2 weeks. He's hypoxic. I remember the doctors kept calling me and telling me, I don't think he's going to make it. I don't think he's going to make it. We're going to have to intubate. And I was so ill, I just said, okay. And I ended up taking myself to an urgent care. They were yelling at me to go to the hospital, and I refused because I didn't want to leave my children. And for 3 months, COVID had gone to my brain. I couldn't walk, I couldn't see, I couldn't function. For 3 months after my husband got home, we both had in-home health care with nurses for speech, physical therapy, occupational therapy, any therapy, you name it, because neither of us could function. I was 40 years old. I was healthy, I don't have any ailments. The doctors had no idea why. My husband, they're like, oh, well, he's a heart patient, of course, you know. And August, September, October go by, and I was due that year for my annual mammogram, and I wasn't going to go, and a friend of mine said, no, I'm going to take you. Let's just get you out of the house and go in for my mammogram. They call the next day, and they said, we need you to immediately come into Hoag for a biopsy. So I go into Hoag. They do a biopsy. The head of radiology pulls my husband and I into a room and starts profusely apologizing. She said, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm so sorry, but your mammogram you took last year, nobody ever read it. I'm the first to open it, and we're pretty sure you have cancer and it's spread. So here we are, trying to launch our ministry. It still happened without us, because it's not about us being there. It's just about us being obedient to what God asks. And I have amazing friends in the faith that stepped up to the plate, and it went off without a hitch. But I'm trying to understand all of this. Okay, Lord, what is your purpose in this? I haven't been able to function for months. Now I have a cancer diagnosis. My husband's a cancer survivor. He's overwhelmed with the reality of what we're facing. And you don't ever want to hear a doctor tell you you've had cancer for a year and it's spread and we're not sure what the outcome's going to be. That's pretty terrifying. So on a Wednesday, we found out I had cancer. On a Thursday, the next day, we sat our kids down and we told all of our kids. And one thing with our children, we've always been really open and honest in sharing with them life. And Friday, I get a call from the high school that my oldest son, my special needs son, that I needed to immediately come pick him up and take him to the hospital. He came into the counselor's office and he had a plan for suicide. He was so overwhelmed by everything that had happened in the last few months, and then the weight of this cancer that he wanted to end his life. And so then became this battle for our son's mental health. And we get him in, they put him in there for 10 days. It's kind of all a jumble that year of 21, the end of 21 and all of 22. It was just absolute chaos. We were just trying to survive. But in that moment when I got that call, I remember just standing in my kitchen screaming. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, like, God, I don't understand this. Why? Why, right? That's always our question, why? We don't ever understand why God allows us to go through things in the moment, of course not. But his past faithfulness over and over and over again demanded my trust in that moment. Because why would God all of a sudden drop me in this heavy moment in our life and just let it fall apart? He's not going to. But isn't that the lie that the enemy tries to tell us in those moments that are so overwhelming? Like, look, what's God gonna do, right? So we go through this year, we get our son situated, he's finally okay. We're like, okay, we're okay. We're not 100% okay, but we're gonna figure this out, right? We're just busting through, we're trying to ignore all the emotions, everything's overwhelming. So then we get to 2024. And in the beginning of 2024, my oldest son is accepted. He's graduating high school that year. He's accepted into a program at the University of Iowa for students with disabilities. And we're so excited. We're like, okay, here we go. We're taking a breath. Life's going to be okay now. Like, everything's settling. And Austin starts struggling again with his mental health. He starts struggling again with just a lot of anger, verbalizing his desire to not want to live, being upset. He doesn't believe that he's special needs. He doesn't understand why he's going into a program for students with disabilities. And I kind of laughed because I'm like, did we do such a good job at raising this kid that he doesn't realize that he's special needs? Like, this is great, but also this sucks right now because he's so angry. He's angry. And I'm thinking, okay, we're just going to get him through the rest of the school year. We'll get him off to Iowa. They can have him. It's going to be fine, right? Well, then he starts spinning, I like to call it, where he's ruminating on everything. And his anger is coming at us. And all of a sudden, that anger that's coming at us is, I'm not a miracle. I don't know why you guys talk about me. I don't know why you share this story. It's all lies. I'm not a miracle child. God didn't heal me, all this stuff. Well, as a parent, when you've literally watched God heal your child, and now he's living this life and he's in high school and he is completely rejecting everything you say and coming at you with so much hatred that we're these horrible people, it's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. And my husband and I weren't quite sure how to carry this all, how to walk through it all. And I don't know if any of you have walked through mental health issues in your family, but it's not really something the church is equipped for. We're friends with one of the daughters of one of the largest churches in Southern California, and I call them, and I'm like begging, please. And they said, Maria, I'm sorry, we have nothing. We have no resources for you. So he's verbalizing all the time, I hate you all, I just wanna die, I wanna kill myself. And that same year, in May of that year, my 16-year-old at the time, comes screaming in our room. And as he was on the phone with his girlfriend, she committed suicide. And he looked at us and he said, Mom, my biggest fear just came to life. I can't take it anymore. I can't be in this house anymore. I can't listen to my brother sit here and threaten every single day that he's going to end his life. And here I'm walking through the biggest fear that I've ever faced in my life is his reality. We're not equipped for this. How do I respond to my baby and tell him it's going to be okay when he just lost somebody and literally was on the phone as it's happening? It's horrific. It's so heavy. And I had no idea what was about to come in these next few months, and we're just trying to survive, right? And again, calling out to God, calling out to God, calling every resource I know, and everybody has nothing for us. They have nothing. Like, how can we have nothing? We have the highest suicide rates in our country right now, in our teens. We have the highest mental health issues in people's lives in our country, and you're all telling me nothing? It's so frustrating. So fast forward, we're just trying to survive. We're trying to get our son to Iowa. We get him off to Iowa. August comes. He's there for 4 weeks. And his hate that he is spitting towards us is literally as if the devil had his cell phone and was sending messages to us that were so horrific. So horrific. And I had nobody to talk to. Nobody. My husband and I had nobody. Because nobody understood what we were carrying. Nobody understood the depth of the weight of what we were dealing with and walking through. All we had is one another and desperate hearts for Jesus to come in and save us. As he had over and over and over and over again. And I don't know if you all have heard of Oceans Church. It kind of has been here for a few years. It's gotten massive. When the pastor and his wife first came here, they lived with us for a while. And we knew it wasn't the church God was calling us to, but we were with them in the beginning. And Pastor Mark calls us during this time, right? And it's the beginning of September of 2024. And he says, hey, we're having a big celebration this weekend for 6 years, our 6-year anniversary. And I'm like, the last thing I want to do is go to some anniversary party for some church when I'm walking through a living hell right now. Excuse my language, but literally that was my heart. It was yucky. And my husband's like, we need to go. And I was so mad. I did not want to go at all. And I don't know if you know Pastor Mark and Rochelle, but they're amazing at honoring people. And they have seats right up front. And Pastor Mark starts giving this whole thing about 6 years and look what God has done. And this is the Kesslers. They were here in the beginning and I am mad as heck. I do not want to be there. I do not want my name up on the stage. And he's continuing, look what God's done. Look what God's done. And I start getting angry. And I go, God, I don't want to sit here and listen to this. Since October of 2018, our life has been so hard, so difficult. Where have you been? Here I am in my flesh, right? Where have you been? And all of a sudden, God starts reminding me of his faithfulness. And he said, Maria, I've been there every step of the way. And he said, I know that you've been walking through a season of fire. And he said, but let me remind you, you've not been burned and you don't smell like smoke. And as I'm sitting there resting in that truth that he's giving me, he then says the last thing I ever want to hear God say to me. He says, the fire is about to get hotter. I woke up the next day. My son in Iowa had not been eating or sleeping for almost 4 weeks and had a complete mental breakdown, and they called us and said, you need to immediately come get him. And at the same time, that same night, I woke up to my other son not being home, and he had snuck out and found out that he had been making decisions, as teenagers would, to cope with what he had dealt with by ignoring it and drinking and partying. So all of this within hours after God tells me the fire is about to get hotter. But isn't God so faithful that he prepared me? He didn't just be like surprised. He told me it was going to happen. It wasn't like I could sit there and be like, oh my gosh. So since September of 2024, we have walked through a radical, difficult season, battling for my son's mental health care, which is nothing I wish on anybody. As we walked through that season, I told my husband, I go, I'd rather go through cancer 20 times over than have to watch one person, even my worst enemy, walk through this. We had family drive from Kentucky, go pick him up, get him into this program. We're desperate. I'm calling every 22Q organization across the country because a lot of kids with 22Q, once they hit those 18, 19, and 20, there's mental health, schizophrenia, bipolar, depression, you name it. They all can't help me. They're like, sorry, after 18, we have nothing. So we find this program in Ohio. We get him in there. It's $57,000 a month. I had already drained my savings on all the last 2 years of all the mental health care because insurance wouldn't touch it. We were paying $1,000 a day on PHP and IOP programs, and we had nothing left. Nothing. We have no savings left. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we had no other choice. We're so desperate. My family's like, we'll help. He's there for 30 days. After the 30 days, they recommend that we get him into a long-term care program. The whole entire time, I'm asking everybody, I don't think this is psychosis. They're all telling me it's psychosis. I'm like, I think it's autism. And they keep telling me I'm crazy. We get him into a program in San Diego where they told us it was like $32,000 a month. Turns out it's almost $60,000 a month. They lied. They told us everything that we wanted to hear and did nothing but put him into further mental crisis to the point where he had enough wherewithal that he faked that he was suicidal on Christmas Eve so that he could be taken to the hospital so that he could call us and tell us we need to get him out of there. Which beforehand they told us, by the way, he's going to call you, he's going to find ways and try to tell you to get him out. Don't listen to him. God is faithful. Because as a mom, God is speaking to me. His Holy Spirit is telling me, listen. Listen, don't listen to these people. I know they keep telling you to trust the process, but don't trust this process. But I don't know what to do. We're desperate. We're looking for a needle in a haystack. We don't even know what the haystack looks like or the needle looks like. And at this point in time, my family's already spent over $200,000 out of pocket since October for my son's care that we can never pay back. That's a heavy burden. And one morning, my husband's praying, and all he keeps hearing the Lord say is failure to thrive. So he Googles failure to thrive. This is when I say God has such a sense of humor. He really does. He Googles failure to thrive. Some guy's name pops up and he goes, call him. I was so mad. Like, why am I calling this guy? Who the heck is he? He goes, I don't know, but just call him. Turns out this guy is a therapeutic consultant. Didn't even know who they were. He's speaking our language. Everything we've been praying for, this man is telling me over the phone, to where I'm like, this is too good to be true. And God's like, listen, just listen, just listen. So this is another $15,000 for this guy's help. So I pay this guy. He helps us to get Austin out of this program. And he says to me, have you ever had him checked for autism? Because this sounds like autism. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you, Jesus. We end up getting Austin out of there. We get him into a wilderness therapy program in North Carolina. We hire a psychiatrist out of Utah who comes and does the most in-depth neuropsych testing on our son, and sure enough, he has autism. When they scanned his brain, four parts of his brain were completely not even functioning anymore because it's called autistic burnout, where the brain shuts down and it can't handle it anymore. And little by little, through these people God put in our life, God was restoring, God was healing, God was reminding us of his faithfulness. By this time we get to this program in North Carolina, it's $20,000 a month. He's in there for months. After that, we get him into this program where he is now, and he's thriving in Georgia, where it's $15,000 a month. You guys, we don't have this money, okay? My husband is the income provider. I work as a sub in the school district with special needs children. Like, we don't have this money just growing on a tree in the backyard. You know, I just was doing our taxes, and last year alone, this was just last year, we paid $65,000 out of pocket for medical expenses for our son. I can't tell you today where that money came from, because we don't have $65,000 laying around. It came from the Lord. The Lord has provided through and through every single time. We're gonna face trials, each and every single one of you. If you haven't yet in your life, praise God. Thank him for that. But the reality is in his word that he tells us that we will face trials, and you have a decision to make when you face those trials. Just like at the very beginning of our story, that decision we had to make in that hospital room, it has been over and over and over again. Are we gonna allow fear and the weight of what we're looking at that doesn't make sense to overwhelm us and overcome us? Or are we gonna surrender it to the feet of Jesus and speak his name over our situation and say, God, I don't know how you're gonna do this. I don't know how in the heck you're gonna provide $300,000 in a 6-month period for mental health care for my son. I don't know how you're gonna take my other son who's walked through losing his girlfriend to suicide and carry him to the other side, after he endured a story for another time, a whole couple years of all kinds of insanity after that. But God is faithful. God promises us over and over and over again that he will care for us, that he will not leave us, that he will not abandon us, that he will provide everything that we need. I will be the first one to say I would never in a million years raise my hand to be in ministry where I'm ministering about mental health and suicide. Absolutely not. I remember one of the first calls we got after Austin was finally settled. It was a friend of mine whose daughter was in the psych ward at Chalk, and she said, can you come up to pray? I wanted to say no. My husband was mad that I said yes, even though he knew it was the right thing to do, but he's like, I'm not ready for this. This is not the ministry I want to walk in. But it's the reality that God takes everything that you walk through in your life and he uses it to give glory and honor to his name, and he uses it to shine through your life to show his goodness and his faithfulness. So in the seasons of your life where you will walk through fire, and I pray to God it's not the fire that we've had to walk through. I hated that worship song, I wanna be tried by fire. Like, who would ever write a song like that, right? I don't wanna be tried by fire. But you know what? Sometimes that's the only way God can use us. We have to radically be obedient to say yes to whatever it is, even if you feel like you're ill-equipped. I told my friend Andy today, I was like, I don't wanna go speak. I do, but I don't. I feel so equipped. I feel so vulnerable. It's too close to the wound right now that I didn't feel like I was ready, but I knew that God wanted this for you ladies. I knew that God had a reason why I'm here today sharing on those specific things. Because maybe it's not a trial you're in now. Maybe it's one that's going to come. Those giants, they will come. And you have everything that you need in his word to fight whatever battle that he puts in front of you. These are not just empty words. It's not just a book. This is the truth. This is life. This is your weapon in any trial and any battle that you may face. I'm going to close us out with worship. And I want you guys just to take a stance, whatever you feel like today. You can sit, you can stand. What is it that you're carrying here this morning? What is it that you walked in here with? Parenting is hard. Babies are hard. The lack of sleep is hard. Maybe it's your marriage and the struggles you may be in that, in this season. I don't know. Maybe some of you are facing your own mental health crisis in your family, in your life. God is bigger, God is greater, and God is faithful to carry you through. And I just want you to take this time as I sing this song to allow his word and his truth to pour over you. Father, I just lift up these women to you this morning. And as I sing this song, I speak Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that your name is greater, that you are more powerful than any giant, any fire, any trial. And Father, we just submit our fears and our worries to you. And we thank you, God, that you will be faithful to carry us through, not just once, not just twice, but over and over again. So Lord, we glorify you and we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. In the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Whoa. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy. name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Yes, I do. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Oh, Lord, let your to every soul captive by depression. I speak Jesus.
Father, we just lift you up today, Lord. We thank you that when the storms come, they will not overtake us, Lord. We thank you that when the fires roar, we will not be burned. We thank you that you are faithful, that you are good, and that your promises we can hold on to in every moment. We love you, we adore you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I just want to offer to you guys, my friend Andy is in the back here. Her and I are going to be back there. If any of you need prayer today, please do not leave without coming. We would love nothing more than to pray for you guys this morning. Thank you.